I praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew. This is chapter 4, 25 verses, translation and commentary. And then also, this is part 5 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a couple of letters here this evening. And right now, let's go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this service. Father, we ask that you pour out your Spirit upon us, your outward anointing. Lord, we know that we have your inward anointing. We have your Spirit within us, the permanent Spirit of life mingling with our temporal spirit, which by reading your word causes us to receive more and more of your permanent life and to stabilize it. We have everlasting life, but we need to maintain that everlasting life on a daily basis. The same way we have to maintain our bodies, we also have to maintain our spirit by preserving it eternally, permanently, by infusing our spirit with your spirit, your permanent, everlasting, eternal life, eternal life. And by our reading and hearing the Word of God, this infuses more and more of your life in us, because the words from the Bible are spirit, both spirit, and they are life, a permanent life. And that's why it's so important for us to maintain the life that you've given us, because if we don't, we will be shipwrecked according to your word. So we must follow the straight and narrow line, the straight and narrow line path into heaven. And your straight and narrow blueprint tells us that we must maintain our spirit on a daily basis. And we need to fight spiritual warfare by preaching the word and teaching it to people, but not to teach it if we're novices, because we'll fall into the same condemnation as the devil. But we can certainly give our testimonies, and we can pass out, distribute gospel literature that everyone can hear through these letters that we read and through the testimonies of others on tape, that millions of souls are being saved, are being brought to their souls are being generated or regenerated by the gospel. That means that they're being born again. Now, being born again means that Jesus was once born in this world, and every time that a person accepts Jesus into their heart, he becomes born again and again and again and again daily in people's souls that we preach the gospel to. Jesus becomes born anew, afresh, born again in the spirits of those who have lived wayward lives, but through the preaching of the Word, which is the light of the world. Jesus is the Word of God, and he's also the light of the world that lightens a man's mind, heart, soul, and spirit. And Christ is born, reborn, in human bodies every time somebody accepts him. And then we must nurture that spirit, that new birth of Christ in a person, to where it becomes full of the stature. It grows up, that spirit, that babe Christ, grows up to its fullness of the stature of Christ when he went into the ministry after 30 years. And he was in the ministry for 3.5 years. Some of us have been in the ministry for a few years longer, but I don't believe that we've been in the ministry as long as Christ has, because we have not reached yet the fullness of the stature of Christ, whereby we can walk on water, where we can say to the winds and the stormy sea to be still, and it'll be still. There's very few people on earth today. I don't know of any that have reached that full capacity as Christ. And that's what Christ wants every one of us to reach, is that to have that kind of faith that we can move mountains. that we can put an end to storms, that we can turn tornadoes in another direction, that we can dissolve hurricanes and cancers by the simply having faith in the Lord's word, who said, "By my stripes you were healed." And Lord, we pray that you, with your outward anointing, will cause people to, by our preaching and teaching this evening, that you will cause people's minds and hearts and souls to awaken to the reality of your word, and that they'll get on the straight and narrow path. There's always a beginning. The beginning is to have let Christ be born again in you. Christ becomes born again daily. Whenever somebody gets saved, he is born again in you. And hopefully that'll happen this evening. And those of you that have slipped away from the Lord because of your not studying the word, not just simply reading it, but I mean studying it, and while you're studying it, believing it. Because many people have read the Bible, but they don't really believe it to the point to where they let Christ become born in them. And then, of course, our spirits are regenerated. They're generated by the Spirit, or regenerated by the Spirit of God, that causes Christ to be born in them and to begin growing in them. And the Word will cause Christ to grow. The Word will cause Christ to grow up to his fullness in you, and so that you can be so that Christ can do his work in and through you. Christ wants to take over. He doesn't want just a small part of us, or a small compartment in us. We are the temple of God, and we don't belong to ourselves, and he wants to live out the rest of his life here on earth in and through us, so that we can live the rest of our life in him throughout eternity. And if we surrender our lives to him in this world, if we receive everything that he says as being God, then God himself, with this in Christ by the Spirit, will grow to the fullness in us, and will be fully assured of immortality, and Christ will be able to begin doing the miracles that he did, that we see that he has done in the scriptures, and he will begin doing them through, in and through us. And so, Father, we pray that this prayer is fulfilled in millions of people, because you stated that you do a quick work in these last days, and you'd call some of us Jews to get this work done and to make your word plain, to make the way of the Lord straight, that it's very straight, very easy to understand. It's very narrow. It's not broad. Everyone has to do it if they want to get into the kingdom of heaven. And the joy of it all is that we must become as little children. We don't have to be wise as the people of the world think themselves to be wise. We just need to become little children and simply believe your word and do it. And Lord, we pray that this will happen to millions of people by hearing this tape in Jesus' name. And everyone says a mighty amen.
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 Praise the Lord. All right, Jeannie, where is the first letter from, please?
Lima, Peru.
Lima, Peru. I knew the mayor, of Jersey City. We had long talks together, and I gave him one of my jackets that the Lord gave me to create, and he and his wife were in Peru, and they got in some vandals or some terrorists out there took a piece of the railroad track out when they were going through Machu Picchu, Peru, and his lovely wife, she was the sweetest thing, was killed there, and I really felt so sorry for her because she wanted one of my jackets and he wouldn't let her have it. And I just, please let me give her one, because she was so the sweetest only little lady that you ever saw. I'll bet he felt bad about that later. But anyway, let's hear what they have to say in Peru.
Dear Brother Alamo, I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus. After these short greetings, I'm letting you know, Brother Pastor, I received your shipment of the gospel material. I need to receive more newsletters since they are a great blessing. I know that with this material, lots of souls are going to come to the Lord. May God continue blessing you. Write me to my address, CC from Lima, Peru.
Please write a letter to him stating that we received his letter and it really was a blessing to everybody, so much so that we read it on our radio broadcast. And a lot of people may think that that radio broadcast is minimal, but read some of the places that our radio broadcast is going to starting next week. Well, we're already on some of them, but go ahead and read some of these.
Grand Rapids, Michigan, New Orleans, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Biloxi, Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, Mobile, Alabama, Pensacola, Florida, then New Zealand, Australia, the Pacific Islands, the Caribbean, Central America, all of Europe, the Middle East, Africa, South America.
And also there is a broker here that books radio broadcasts on different stations, and he has 30 some odd thousand AM and FM radio stations, and he said he's doing his best to get us on every single one of them because he loves the program and he loves the fact that we're back on the air. We got a letter from him. Did you get that here? The angel said that it was sent in. Ted Sally sent it in here, how happy he was that I was back on the air again, and I'd sure like to have that read on the program.
Dear Pastor Tony, welcome back. I was speaking to one of the radio stations in the Southeast, and David Brown told me that you were on the air again, and we want to get you on the radio all over the world. I am very thrilled to hear this. I remember in the early 90s how the media attacked you and your organization, just another way to ruin our religious freedom in the nation. At the time, I had a religious broadcasting agency in Little Rock. Since then, I sold it and got out of, quote, religious advertising, unquote, because of the, quote, lack of integrity, unquote, in both radio and television ministry.
Yeah, most of them are very phony, and it's just so depressing to watch them that it's because they are so far from the truth. Or they preach the truth, a little bit of truth, and then they talk about politics, and they mingle satanic things with some God, very little godly things, and it just deceives people to the point that there's no hope for them if they keep believing these people. And you see the pitiful people just all there, and they're doing all these, the doctrine and the antics that they're doing and the special effects that they have. The same as like you see at the fairgrounds or something, or at some burlesque show. Okay, but keep going.
I used ministries here loosely. I am present.
Read that line again before that.
Okay. I had a religious broadcasting agency in Little Rock. Since then, I sold it and got out of, quote, religious advertising, unquote, because of the quote, lack of integrity, unquote, in both radio and television ministries. I used ministries here loosely. I am president and owner of Michael Thomas Media Group of Grand Rapids, Michigan. 98% of our business is general market, but I always look for the, quote, right, unquote, type of program or client to work with. Again, I have followed your ministry over the years and would like to assist you in placing your show on stations nationwide as well as worldwide. We are able to receive lower rates because of the volume of stations we work with. So please feel free to contact me personally at, and he gives his number, and I will assist you in the media area. Sincerely, Stephen T. Nordier, President. P.S. I broker 35,000 AM and FM radio stations.
Well, that should get us around the world pretty good. We're like we're now in Australia as of this next week, as Africa, India, all throughout Europe, every place in Europe, and everywhere in the world actually now. So not only is our literature everywhere in the world, but we're on radio everywhere in the world now, and we're just we're going to pick off all the radio stations that we possibly can. And we'd appreciate your support. Definitely, I know God is going to bless us because we're preaching the truth. And we're getting a lot of responses in from radio stations saying that it's such a wonderful pleasure to be hearing the truth again. We haven't heard it for years, since you've been off the air. All right, so now we're back. It's like they say, we're back. All right, so Satan knows it too. Now we were, Satan attacked us fiercely because he doesn't want us on the air, but we're back. And thank God. And we've got so much printed material out now that the Lord's Word is out of the bag. It's out, and people are reprinting it everywhere in the world. And I reckon that in the event of my decease, our works shall follow us. Susie's and my work will follow us. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now let's continue on. Now, you have more letters?
Yes.
Or how many more letters?
One more.
One more. Okay, then let's hear who that is from.
Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor, I am very glad to write you this letter. How is the condition? I hope by the grace of the Almighty God, the condition is moving on well.
Oh, the grace means the power of God. Yes, the power of God moves very well. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, the power of God does very well. Okay, then what?
Please, Pastor, before I will go to my main point, let's thank the Almighty God for his protection.
Amen. Thank you and praise you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And everybody, praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when you praise and thank the Lord, the Spirit of God comes down upon you and gives you the strength to endure one day at a time. So praise the Lord every day. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go.
My beloved and respectable pastor, I am a boy of 14 years of age, and I attend the Assemblies of God Church, and I don't have a Bible. I always go to church with empty hands and come home with empty hands. So please, Pastor, with my respect, I want you to send me one of your holy Bibles so that I can use it.
Oh, we've already sent it to him. Yeah, my mail room is instructed the minute anybody asks for a Bible, send it immediately. And so I'm sure it's already gone and in his hands. All right, praise the Lord. Then what else?
Please, Pastor, in our church, we are coming to celebrate our 10th anniversary. I want you to send your world newsletter so that I can give it to the Sunday school children. The reason I want this is that one of my friends gave me one of your literatures to read, and I was totally born again because of your literature.
Christ was born again in his spirit. Isn't that something to get Christ born in people again?
Amen. Amen.
See, when Christ was begotten by the Holy Spirit, and so when he gets begotten by the Holy Spirit in us, he becomes born again in another human body. And if we win, if there's 100 souls that he gets born again in every day, well, then that's 100 more people that Christ is living in on this earth, and he can begin doing his work in those other 100 people, or 1,000 people, or 1,000,000 people. And the more that Christ is born again in human flesh, the more that human flesh, if they will discipline themselves, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, in other words, the Word of God, to do what it says, to read the Bible every day and to seek Him and keep their mind and stayed on the Word of God and to do the things that He says, this world will be evangelized very quickly, and the kingdom of heaven truly will completely overthrow the kingdom of darkness. And that's what we want. We don't want to harm anybody. We just want this kingdom of this earth, on earth, to be the same as the kingdom is ruled in the kingdom of heaven. Thy kingdom come, Lord, thy will be done on earth. We want his kingdom to rule here on earth as it does in heaven. And strange the way that the Lord does that. He always uses human flesh to get that done. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That God should choose such as we to live in and live out his life in and get his work done in. He doesn't want us sitting around idle. And to serve the Lord doesn't mean to go to church on Sundays and then just live our own life the rest of the week. But he wants to live and work in us on a daily basis. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And he wants us to bring about the kingdom of heaven, the new birth in other people, to preach Jesus into people so that he becomes born again, anew, afresh, in this other person or other persons. That's why it's such a blessing for us to be on the air, to where literally hundreds of millions of people can hear these broadcasts and receive Christ into their hearts, and to know what that means. Because I've heard, before I was saved, I heard how people says, well, we have to be born again. We have to be born again. Verily, verily, the Lord says unto us, you must be born again of spirit and of water. Well, you must die, you must be baptized in the water. He must have the Spirit of Christ in you. He must be born and fresh in you. And then you have to be baptized. Baptize your life into death of Christ and be buried with Christ and then be resurrected by the Spirit in you so that you're letting Christ live. If the thing that makes people so guilty is if they accept Christ into them by the Spirit, and then they don't let him live his life out in you, then you're guilty for knowing the truth and not passing it on to others. It's as though you don't want them to go to heaven. You don't want Christ to be born in them so that Christ can work in and through them. And so that makes you so guilty that it makes you worthy of eternal death. Eternal misery and pain, because there's no mercy. The Bible says, those that sow mercy shall reap mercy. Those that sow abundantly shall reap abundantly. But those that sow sparingly shall reap sparingly. If you just occasionally distribute one piece of literature to your friend or something, no, the Lord wants you to blaze the Word of God abroad to all the kingdoms of this earth. So ask for loads of pieces of literature so that you can be responsible for causing Christ to be born in hundreds, thousands, or millions of souls, because and encourage them to hear these tapes so that they can know what it's all about, what the purpose of the Lord is and all of his purposes, and that's to bring forth many souls into the kingdom of God. To allow Christ to enter into people's hearts, the souls, their spirits, with his permanent, eternal, everlasting life, and so that you can be used, that Christ can use your body to live out his life, to get his word out to everybody, and to for you to straighten out your life so that people can see the works of Christ in you, to know that, yes, by the power of God living in you, that you are able to live a very straight and narrow life. And they can realize the way you were before, and then they see you living the straight and narrow life now, which means that they know that something's happened to you, that there is this new power in you that you never had before, and that you straighten out your life, and you doing something with you're allowing Christ to do something with your life that could never be possible unless he was living in and through you. The Almighty God in Christ is in you. And the Lord tells you that after he goes to heaven, that he with his Father will come and abide in us, live in us, and work in us. And he says, the Father in me, and then I with the Father in you. And we all become one in Christ Jesus and in the Father. So it's no longer Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit only. It's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and his bride, the body of Christ. That means you and I. And everyone that we bring about, that we preach Christ, the Word of God to, they receive it and they let Christ begin using them. living in, working in and through them. Then it's the work of God. It's not your work or my work, but it is Christ working in and through us. And before this program, I pray that God would anoint with the outward anointing to get this message across to you. And it thrills me to know that the Lord is explaining these things through me, because he does it in such a manner that I never even thought of before. So you know that the Lord is talking through me to you. He wants to be born again in you. He wants to be recreated. He wants to use your body. He wants to live incarnate in flesh and get his work done in and through you. Because that's a very big miracle, is that he takes a dead person, dead in their sins and trespasses, and makes them alive enough to where he can do his works through you. Okay? And the very miracles that he did, he says, you'll do also, because it'll be him in you doing it. Okay, don't think of it as, oh, I can't do that. Of course you can't, but when Christ is in you, he can. Amen?
Yes.
You just preach and Christ will do the healing. He'll do the casting out of the devils. He'll do the raising from the dead. Okay? God is God. We're just human beings, but let him live out his life in you, and you'll give me goose pimples to think about it. Amen?
Amen.
So Christ, we can see him operate if you'll just let him. And if you'll not think of it as yourself, but as God in Christ by the Holy Spirit in you. Okay? We can then it look as though all things are possible in and through it, because they are possible because it's Christ doing it. Now, you don't need a lot of faith. Just the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, he says, you can move. You can say to that mountain, go over there, and that mountain will go over there. Amen?
Amen.
Because whatsoever that we bind in heaven shall be bound here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
So we get up to the throne of the Lord and say, Lord, there's something bugging us down here. It's really bothering us, and this is your work, and I don't believe you want this to happen, so could you bind it on earth here from heaven, Lord? And he'll say, there's a person that believes in my word. Bind that devil in that person, Lord. Bind that sickness in that person. Cause that person. They say that this person needs to have her gallbladder removed. Lord, bind that. Dissolve those gallstones and cause her. You've already healed her, but let her receive it now in the name of Jesus. And it shall be done. Amen?
Amen.
It's already done. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's continue the letter.
Please, Pastor, I need your literature for witnessing. Pastor, with my respect, I want to end here with my letter. Please don't forget me. Thank you for being my pastor in Christ. Yours faithfully, K.A. from Ghana, Africa.
Oh, we'll not forget you. Praise the Lord. God will never forget you either. He's living in you and through you, and I can tell that. I feel a kindred spirit there. Is that it now?
Yes.
All right, now onward with the fourth chapter of Matthew. And let's start, and let's just go through with the translation so that people are reading from their King James and they'll get the same thing out of it, I'm sure. Go ahead.
The temptation of Jesus, verse 1. Then Jesus was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted there by the devil.
See, God doesn't tempt anybody, but he allows us to be tested. He wants to know what we're made out of. He wants the Spirit of God in us. He wants us to know the power that's in us. So he'll allow us to be tempted to see if we're going to utilize or use the power of God that he put in us. And we can easily turn away from it, but some people say, well, I wouldn't be tempted unless it was of the Lord. Oh, no, you're not to do that. You're to let Christ live his life out in you with the Father, and you're to turn your back on it so people can see. So here, God is going to allow his Son to go out into the wilderness and be tempted by the devil so that we can see his mettle. In other words, to see how much power is in him. And he showed it to us. Amen?
Amen.
And God wants us to show our mettle, the kind of mettle that's in us, that God is in us, so that people can see it. You know, talk is cheap. But when people see you resisting Satan, and then they can see that God is in you. They see that Christ is in you. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 2. For 40 days and 40 nights he ate nothing and became very hungry. Verse 3. Then the devil came and said to him, quote, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into loaves of bread, unquote. Verse 4. But Jesus told him, quote, no, exclamation mark, unquote. The scriptures say, quote, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God, unquote.
Right. Because every word of God is God, and that builds your soul up. Now, you need regular food to keep your body maintained, but you need God's word to feed your soul daily and keep it strong to where it has the power, God's power in you to resist the evil spirits or the temptations of this world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so you need God's word in you constantly to be able to stand and to go through this life without the world having control of you with its lusts. I say, oh, that's plain. That's real plain. Yes, it is. And therefore, it's easy to understand. Yes, it is. And therefore, you're without excuse. Okay? And so when you stand before the Lord, you can't say, I didn't know these things, Lord. Say, well, Tony, explain them to you. Don't say you didn't know. Depart. Get out of here. You can't come in. The Lord wants to say, come in, my good and faithful servant. I saw you resisting Satan. I saw you wanting to be like my son instead of the world. But you wanted to be the... some of you, he'll say, you wanted to be like the world rather than my son. So the world is going to hell, and you decided to go to hell with the world. You decided to go to the lake of fire with the world. Now, you either have to choose to be of the world and go to hell in the lake of fire, or be like the Lord's son. Let him live out his life for you and go to heaven. It's just that simple. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's plain, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, then what?
Verse 5, then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. Verse 6, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off, exclamation mark.
If you are. In other words, see, the devil will always tell you, you're just a human being. You're weak. No one's perfect. You're not a son of God. Well, even the Bible says that you are a son of God, and that you have the same power, and Christ said that he wants to live out his life in you, that he and the Father will be in you, and they'll say, well, you're not perfect. But, you might say, I've got a bad eyesight. Yeah, I'm not perfect that way, but God's in me, and I'm walking in his spirit and living his life, and so therefore, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to take the words of this world and say, well, we're all weak, and we just can't. No, the world is weak. But we're not of the world, the Bible says. We're like pilgrims passing through, amen?
Amen.
And we're not of this world. We're of the new realm. We're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. And so therefore, I'm not going to believe this trash that I'm like you people of the world. I'm here to preach the gospel to you people of the world so that you can know that you can be as strong as Christ if you'll just die out and let Christ live in you. Amen?
Amen.
Because you must do that. You must become like a little child to God. In other words, little children believe their father. So if you're a little child to God, they ask, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Lord? Will it be John or Matthew or Mark or who, all these different people? No, he said, here, let me give you an example. So he grabbed a child and he put him on his lap and he said, we must become like this little child. This little child believes that I'm God. And that this little child doesn't have any of the pulling from the world. They haven't been tempted yet. We must become like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And don't think, the Lord says, that you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven unless you become like one of these children. And then Paul says, be like dear children, little innocent things. Don't try to be intelligent, world-wise, but just be a childlike person and follow the Lord. Don't try to think that you have to become bright or anything. I'm not bright. I mean, I know things of the world, and I've made a lot of money, but that doesn't do me any good at all. I gave up all that sort of stuff in the world because I knew that if I died on that day that the Lord started pulling the Spirit in and out of me, that I was lost, and I knew that I had to find out how I could please God. And I started going from one church to another to try to find out, because I knew that money, and I had hit records, I owned a Beatles album, that to me just seemed like trash. That wasn't going to help me. And every major singing group in the world wanted me to manage them. The Rolling Stones, the Beatles wanted me to manage them. And I said, well, my name's Tony 50% Alamo. They said, we don't care, man. They said, there ain't nobody like you. I was tempted before that happened to me. Even the Democratic Party wanted me to do the promotion for the whole party, the President of the United States and everything. I rejected all that stuff because what good would it be? What profit would it be if a man gained the whole world and lost his soul? And that's what Jesus is knowing right here. And the same spirit of Jesus that entered me, none of the same thing. It says, what good is all this? He says, I'll give you the entire world if you'll just lay down prostrate before me and worship me. And let's hear the rest of what Jesus says to this maniac, this man, this spirit that's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, weeping and gnashing. There isn't anything in this world worth selling your soul for. Give your life to Christ. Let his power, that's the most wonderful thing, is to have the power of God living in you and doing his work in and through you. There's no higher office. I mean, if they made you the king of every country, the ruler of this world, that isn't anything. Because if we let the King of Kings and the ruler of this world, the universe, the entire universe, live in us, that's the highest position that a human being can be called unto. A simple scrub woman or a janitor that has the Spirit of God in them has a higher office than the President of the United States or the King of England or the Queen of England. Believe me, I'm telling you the truth. Because that person is going to heaven, and these other reprobates, if they don't get saved, they're rejected of God. Reprobate means that you're rejected of God. And if you're rejected of God, I don't care how much money you have. I mean, you can't do anything but mourn because you know you're lost. And you have no power in you to even rule your own life, let alone anybody else's. Okay, continue on, please.
For the scriptures say, quote, he orders his angels to protect you, and they will hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot on a stone.
That's what the devil is telling everybody. Commit suicide if you're in pain. Instead of going to a person that knows the Lord and let them pray for you so that the pain will go away and that you'll be healed. I was trying to get to that Terry Schiavo. I was telling him, just let me go in there and pray for her and she'll totally recover if she believes the gospel. And they would not let me in there. So that shows this government, this Antichrist government, wants to show that they want to kill anyone that's sick or an invalid. This was first in Nazi Germany, because they don't want to pay Social Security benefits to you. They want to get rid of anyone that's sick or is not functional, that can't make money. Because everything that this world is about is either money, power, sex, stuff like that. And that's all it is. That's all the government's interested in. You can buy your way into government if you got enough bucks. And the Lord doesn't want you to have any part to do with that. You see these TV ministries exalting Bush and this administration and trying to get you interested in who's going to be the next Supreme Court justice and all these things, and the Lord doesn't want your mind focused on that. It wouldn't make any difference who's the Supreme Court justice. these satanic people that are in government wouldn't be choosing anybody that is of the Lord. There are going to be people that are just cagey not of the Lord at all. We have to preach the gospel to them to get them saved. And if they got saved, they wouldn't allow them to be in office there. I have more wisdom than all of them put together. Do you think they'd elect me to run the world? And do you think the world, full of lust, would listen to anything I say? There'll be a few that are saved. The Bible says that a few will be saved, and the majority will be lost. Just as when God drowned the whole world, there was a few that were saved. 8. The rest were all drowned. Millions of people. So the majority has always been wrong. And they always will be. But it's to their own hurt. Because they're going to hell in the lake of fire. Now, I'm telling you the truth. And I know you people believe the truth. I've had senators, congressmen, and even presidents tell me that they know I'm telling the truth. And I've had people, scientists, and everyone else know that I'm telling the truth. And so you thank God. You should thank God that at least you're, once in your life you're hearing the truth. Now you people, if you love people, have them tune in on radio here and listen to me. Because at the risk, at the peril of my own life, which I care little or nothing about, I'd rather be with the Lord. I've seen him and I wanted to be with him so bad when I saw him. It was the biggest disappointment in my life when he said, not now. And so I'm not worried about dying because I know I'll never die. My body might die. This carrying case, this carrying Christ around with the Father by the Spirit in me. But I will live forever because he is in me. And he works in me mightily. And so receive the Lord now in Jesus' name. Now keep going.
Verse 7. Jesus responded, quote, the scriptures also say, do not tempt the Lord your God, unquote.
Don't think that you can jump off of a building and God's going to send his angels cast you up. That's tempting the Lord. You'll definitely die if you cast yourself off of a building. You're going to die. And if you think you can eat poisonous things on purpose or play with rattlesnakes, you're going to die also. But, I mean, the scriptures say if you're walking in the spirit and a poisonous snake bites you by accident, you could die, your body. But, almost everything we eat today is poisonous because it's sprayed or something. And pray over your food and the Lord will bless it, okay? Then what else? Because it's just too worrisome. We have to be like little children and believe that when he says if you pray over your food, all the poison in it, preservatives and the sprays and all that stuff, he'll just cover it in his power and cleanse it up for you. Okay? So just trust the Lord. Don't try to be intelligent. Just be godly, dear children. Amen?
Amen.
Just like become like little children and believe the Bible, the Word of God. That's far more simple. That was one of the things I needed desperately the other day. I just thought, you know, there's so many things that I have to do and all that. And the Lord says, no, I'll do it. Just become as a little child. Just relax. Just get the gospel out and, do the things you're supposed to do. You can only do so much every day. And then work with zeal, of course. Be very zealous. But, when it's you get a little tired or something, if there's anything pressing, I'll handle it. And so I started doing that, and that calmed me down immensely. To me, old, rugged and tough me, I says, even I have to become like a little child, you know? And so I've calmed down quite a bit in the last 3 days here. Getting to the point, and the Lord always comes in the nick of time to cause me, he says, just, you're going to make it, okay? You don't have to worry and do anything supernatural. I'm the supernatural one. You pray for people, and I'll do the healing. Amen?
Amen.
You pray for people, and I'll cast out the devils. You don't have to worry, oh God, will you cast them out? Or will you heal them? I'm sure that if I pray for somebody and they've got a problem and they agree with me that the Lord is true, that they're going to be able to receive their healing and that the devils are going to be cast out of them. I just believe that. And that's why when a person calls me to ask the Lord to heal them, to pray for them, I tell them, I will pray for you, and you are going to be healed. Have you ever heard me say that?
Yes.
All the time?
Amen.
Every time?
Yes.
And they always do get healed, don't they?
Yes.
Okay, and I don't call this a healing ministry, because it's much more than that. It's a salvation ministry, a healing ministry, a ministry that casts out devils. It's the full gospel, the good news, you know? You're saved, you're healed, you're everything. We're fully equipped over here. We're a no-frills ministry where, you know, we don't have these great big auditoriums or anything like that. It's no-frills, but then on the other hand, Jesus never had those big auditoriums either with the flashing lights and the, you know, all the carny super effects guys there, you know, with their flashing lights and the stars and the big world moving around and stuff like that. It's a no-frills ministry. We're kind of like a Spartan-type ministry, but the work of the Lord is being done here. Okay, and that's what it's all about. I know more than anybody, coming from show business, I know how to get all those special effects going better than these guys that are doing it, because it looks so cheap and carny to me that I just can't imagine them not selling these cheap carny chow over there. I used to, when I'd go to a fair, I wouldn't feel like I got my money's worth unless I got sick to my stomach from eating all the cheap carny chow or the carny or fairground food. Once I even got to vomit from some bad pineapple ice cream. It was real slick. Felt like lard swimming around in my stomach. And I was just a little kid, and it's another time. I've only vomited 3 or 4 times in my life, and that was one of them. They'll start doing that soon, because they're already doing the hoochie-coochies and the watusi. You can see them shaking their hips around these big people and some of the little ones. It's like Whiskey a Go-Go on the Sunset Strip back in the 60s. I mean, it's so nauseous, so far away from Christ that it's deplorable. Okay, keep going.
Verse 8. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the nations of the world and all their glory. Verse 9. Quote, I will give it all to you, unquote, he said. Quote, if you will only kneel down and worship me, unquote. Verse 10. Quote, get out of here, Satan, unquote, Jesus told him. Quote, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only, unquote.
And not this world. Okay, the world doesn't mean anything until God takes it completely over, and then it's ours anyway. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. Then the devil went away, and angels came and cared for Jesus. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ begins. Verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. Verse 13, but instead of going to Nazareth, he went to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Verse 14, this fulfills...
Incidentally, the Jews call it Capernaum, not Capernaum like the people here in the United States call it. The real name is Capernaum. That's the city of Jesus. It's about 4 or 5 miles from Tiberias, where I lived. And I used to visit Capernaum every day. It's right on the Sea of Galilee. And it's about 3 miles from Magdala. I lived in Israel for quite a while. Okay, and then what else?
Verse 14. This fulfilled is Isaiah's prophecy. Verse 15. Quote, in the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live. Verse 16. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who lived in a land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined, unquote.
God, because everybody was getting healed. People were being raised from the dead. People were had demons cast out of them. Every disease, the blind people were seeing. The lame people were walking. I mean, this is a great light. This is God himself in a human being. And that human being's name was Jesus. And this Jesus was the actual Messiah of God, begotten by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was born in a human, in the spirit of a human. And his name was Jesus. And now, Jesus, when he went up to the kingdom of heaven, he is now able to project himself, to dispense himself. He has become now the quickening or the life-giving spirit, and he sends himself now into other human bodies. He becomes born again in you, if you'll let him. And he did in me and all the people in this church, millions of people all over the world. And he'll become born again in you. He's no respecter of persons. If you'll invite him in, he'll come right in and wash all your sins away by faith in the blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary, and he'll be, all your former sins will be forgiven. He says, now go and sin no more, and take up the cross, shoulder the cross of your cross, and follow Christ. That means put the cross to your flesh. Don't let your flesh take over your life or rule you. Don't let your mind rule you, but let the Word of God lead you. Don't let this world influence you, but let the Word of God influence you. This is our only influence, if we want to make it to heaven, is the Bible. And so we have to put the cross to our flesh, to our ideas, our opinions, to our unruly spirit, to our tongue, everything, and just let the Lord instruct us as what to say and what to do, and lead us where to go. All right, then what?
Verse 17, from then on Jesus began to preach, quote, turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, unquote.
See, there it is. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, in him. And now he's saying, if you people will turn from your sins and believe God, the kingdom of heaven will be in you. And the more of the people that have the kingdom of heaven in them, the more Satan's kingdom is overthrown. Isn't that simple? If the population were all believing Christ, then Satan's kingdom will be completely overthrown. And this world will soon become the kingdom of God, because God is going to burn up all the ones that don't believe, and he's going to send them to hell in the lake of fire. And there'll only be a kingdom wherein righteousness dwells. And we're not God's righteousness unless we're letting God do everything in and through us. You hear all these people saying, well, you know, we're God's righteousness because we accepted him. But if you're not, if you really accept him, his word, and you do everything he says and reject the world, which is the main thing too, one of the main things, and you just become like little children and believe him instead of the world and these false preachers that are of the world, that are Satan, well then, of course, you're the righteousness of God, because it's God in you that is righteous. But we of ourselves are not righteous unless we are allowing God to live out his life in us. If we're doing that, yes, then we, with the Father and Christ, in Christ and the Spirit, are the righteousness of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 17. The kingdom of heaven is very near. The first disciples. Verse 18. One day Jesus was walking along the shore beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, fishing with a net, for they were commercial fishermen. Verse 19. Jesus called out to them, quote, come, be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 20.
Fish by with the word of God. Then what?
And they left their nets at once and went with him. Verse 21. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them to come as well. Verse 22, they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. The ministry of Jesus in Galilee. Verse 23, Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogue, preaching everywhere the good news about the kingdom, in other words, the gospel.
Yeah, the gospel, the good news is that we must die. Christ had to die, and so do we. Die out to this world. We have to be buried. Our old life has to be buried and done with. And then we have to be resurrected into this new life, the life where Jesus tells us everything to do. We ignore the world and everything, the teachings of it, and just do what the Lord does. And so that's simple. That's good news. That's the way to heaven. Then we ascend with Christ into the, by just doing what he says, we are ascended with him, sitting in heavenly places. We're ruling and reigning by preaching the gospel. And we're also fighting spiritual warfare, such as preaching the gospel like I'm doing right now, and teaching the gospel, edifying the church, and getting out the word to the unsaved, and praying to God that God would pour out his outward anointing on me so that the things that I say are understandable and only from him. The things that I'm saying now are not from me. They're from him. Can't you tell that?
Amen.
Okay, so the Lord Spirit is using me right now to break down the things that he wants you to know. Okay, so I can't take any credit for it. But I just thank and praise the Lord that I get to be in one, even a small part of heaven. Okay, that's fine for me, just so I don't go to hell into the lake of fire. All right, okay, so keep going, please.
And he healed people who had every kind of sickness and disease.
See, every kind of sickness, every kind of disease. And if he's in you with the Father by the Spirit, you'll do the same thing. But you've got to believe. When you go to pray for somebody, don't say, well, we'll see what God's going to do. No, you tell them, God. But you can't do that, really, if you don't really believe it yourself. You have to really, bottom line, believe that. And that belief will come to you by experience. By being in the Lord and really believing his word that everything that he says is true. And then when I pray for somebody and they come in, I know for sure God's going to heal them. And unless you do that, unless you really believe him, it won't happen. But of course, they have to believe too. So where as many as two or more are gathered together in his name, he's there to do his work. But you have to agree. Not with the world. Well, you know, you see everything in the world and nothing is supernatural that you see. But I see God and I know that he's supernatural. He's not natural. He's supernatural. I don't expect natural things out of God. I expect supernatural things. He gives me natural things too, but I expect that all his works are supernatural. And that's just the way it is. He's more real than we are. We're figments of his imagination. He's not to be a figment of our imagination. He was before us, and he's everywhere. And he is as powerful today as he was in the beginning. All right? And he's as powerful today as he was in Jesus. And if we have him and Jesus in us, why? It's the same Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The same Father. Oh, what are you worried about? Launch out into the deep. Believe God and be happy and start letting the Lord use you. Believe him so that you can start doing, letting him do his work in you. Don't be afraid. Okay, what else?
Verse 24.
Because the fearful and unbelieving shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. Believe God. If you don't believe these things that I'm saying to you, then you're really not saved. You're saved by faith. Belief in the Lord. Trust in him. Okay, then what? And if you do, then you'll see miracles happening, and you should be having the gifts too. All you people that have been in the church for years, where are the gifts? Start believing God. Start exercising your faith in God by receiving the gifts. Well, I just don't know if the Lord wants me to have them. Just start exercising them. You already have them. Are you not saved already?
Amen.
Are you not healed already?
Amen.
Well, is God in you?
Amen.
Is Christ in you?
Amen.
Well, okay, the power is in you then, all right?
Amen.
Start using it. If I put food in front of you and you don't eat it, well, you just starve to death. You say, well, I just don't know whether I can eat it or not. Or you can look at the menu, go into a restaurant, open the menu and start reading it and say, I just haven't got faith to order. Right? And then when it comes, I just don't have faith to put the fork in my hand and put it over to my mouth. Is it too much? Can't believe that it's really true that I'm going to be able to have this food. The Lord is the food of life. Amen?
Amen.
Eat it. Use it. Amen?
Amen.
As your energy. Okay, then what?
Verse 24. News about him spread far, quickly, far beyond the borders of Galilee, so that the sick were soon coming to be healed from as far away as Syria. And whatever their illness and pain, or if they were possessed by demons, or were epileptics, or were paralyzed, he healed them all.
What? See, so when the news gets out just with one person with power of God in them, they come from all regions, other countries. What do you think will happen when you receive that God is in you and that you have, that he has the same power in you as he had then? They'll be coming from all regions. You don't have to do any advertisement or be on television. Christ wasn't on TV, was he?
No.
Word of mouth gets around, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Okay?
Verse 25, large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns of Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the 25 verses of chapter 4, the translation, and now commentary.
4 verses 3 through 7. Satan did not doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. Satan appealed to a real need and possible doubts that were common to all human beings. Like us, Jesus needed food because he was in a human body. But he didn't need security, as a lot of these false prophets say, or he didn't believe that he needed protection other than from God. He didn't need to know that he was significant, because he knew that he was, and he knew that he was the number one achiever. He knew who he was.
Right, and we need to know who we are. The Bible plainly says that when the Spirit of God enters in us, we say, Abba, Father, that means, and he says, what manner of love the Lord has bestowed upon us to call us the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're a son of God, know who you are. Don't be like a man that reads, who looks into the mirror and see that you're a son of God, or reads into the Bible, which is the mirror, and then close the Bible and walk away, and then you're a slob again, or you're led by the world or influenced by the world. Open that Bible, keep it open, and when you close it, remember who you are, and start doing letting the Lord do his works in you. Oh, it's so hard to do. Well, then keep the Bible open and don't ever leave it, okay? It's better that you should read the Bible and believe it than it is for you to eat. Okay, then what?
Because he was in a human body, Satan could have called him into question, Jesus' right to rule and his perfection as the unique God-man. And now we must be as unique God men and women as Christ was, because it's his Spirit in us. We are human bodies, and the Spirit of God is in us, and the Spirit of God is just as powerful today as it was then. Satan and his forces will attack those of us as we are on our way to become the fullness of the stature of the Lord, as we're walking in the Holy Spirit, and will pick the most vulnerable points of times when we are in difficult situations. It's important that we be on guard against Satan's attacks. We must be fully armed and armored with the Word of God. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. The way of growing in the Lord through Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is open to everyone, not just the people in the Bible, because we have the same opportunity they had. Religion is of the devil. Salvation is of the Lord. Jesus healed. He's already healed us. The false prophets say Jesus can heal anyone, but Jesus already has healed everyone that believes that. Regardless of past history, when we're in salvation, we're going to receive religious affliction. No matter what our religious affiliation was or our nationalities, Jesus himself proved this by spending his early years in the cosmopolitan region of Galilee. The Jews in this area were not considered, quote, good Jews, unquote, by those in Judea because of their contact with the many Gentiles, because they really didn't believe God didn't care about the Messiah's coming, didn't want to go see him when he was born, those who lived there. But Jesus showed God's love for them, and he continues to show his love to everyone who believes and trusts in him, and then does what he tells them to do. So he'll forgive all of our former sins, no matter how terrible they were. He did that with Paul, who was the chief of sinners, Paul said. Delayed gratification, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. We may be searching for shortcuts that what you might be doing to happiness. The road of life takes us through painful places sometimes that we would rather not go. Some of us have gotten off the straight and narrow path, lured away by hopes of a faster route and easier ways to the, quote, good life, unquote, quote, the kingdom of heaven, unquote. Jesus faced the same temptation, he and the prophets as well. He was destined to become the king of all the earth. The plan was that he, God, would come to the earth as a man. The Word of God would come to earth as a man, live a sinless life, die to pay for our sins, be buried and raised from the dead in his resurrection, and return to heaven. This is the gospel. This is the good news. He returned to heaven to wait for those of us who would be faithful to him, enough to where the Spirit of God that's in us would then raise us from the dead on the last day. Then Jesus would return to earth immediately after the tribulation to claim his people and his rightful place as King of Kings. Satan offered Jesus a shortcut.
Yeah, immediately after the tribulation, read it in chapter 24. Don't let any people say to you that you're going to be raptured out of the tribulations. Hopefully I will go on to be with the Lord before the tribulation, but you're in tribulations right now, whether you know it or not. There's no peace on earth any longer. People are even afraid to get on buses. Look at the situation that just happened the other day, and by the time you hear this on the air, it'll be quite a bit, but it just happened in England where the people in the subways were blown up, and people, there's no peace here. You can't even send your children to school. Satan is just making his last bid for every soul. Okay, so there's peace on earth comes when you have Christ, the Prince of Peace, inside of your spirit, and you just read his word, his simple direction into heaven. Don't let any of these things detract you from being a childlike person. Don't get bitter about anything. Because bitterness will just destroy your soul. There's all kinds of people that will cause us to be bitter. Some children are bitter at their parents. And parents are bitter at their children, disobedient children. And there's just all kinds of disobedience and causes for people to be bitter. But it's better to be a child and just don't be bitter. Even people are bitter at their wives, but the Lord commands us through the apostle, don't be bitter against your wives. Just, you know, set them aside for a while. Just let them fester and just preach the gospel to them and point them to the Lord. And that way you'll not have your eternal life choked out of you by the devil. Because the devil uses all kinds of people to make you bitter. Or the things that you see, these false rules and regulations, these evil rules that the satanic world government is using, the Antichrist government, it just makes you bitter to see him murdering so many little children. But you know they're all in heaven anyway. But it's still, it's against the Lord. And putting innocent people in prison and blowing people up and all this, it's just deplorable, but just pray that God will bind these things on earth, in heaven, so that they will be bound on earth. Amen? We have a recourse. If everybody would do that, then you'd see a lot of this end. Amen?
Amen.
And pray that these people that are in secular government says, do good to all men. Honor all men. There's no way that you can honor all men better than to preach the truth to them. Now, I'm honoring the presidents, the kings, the queens, and of the federal government and everybody, and the Antichrist, people in the Antichrist government, I'm honoring them by preaching the gospel to them. I can't bestow a greater honor on them. I'm not going to tell them that the things that they're doing are right, because they're wrong. And that would be dishonoring them if I told them they were right. Amen?
Amen.
And to have respect for all people. I respect you, no matter how corrupt you are, to tell you the truth. Because I was a corrupt person just like you before I got saved. And I just thank God that he came out of the clear blue and revealed himself unto me. So, you know, I can't condemn you because I realized what it was like when I didn't believe. But I had so many supernatural experiences happen to me. And I have the Word of God, and I know it's true. Because I've tested the Word of God down through the years. I've tried it. And it works, and it's true. It's true. It works. Okay? I've seen millions of souls saved. And I've seen millions of people healed and delivered from all sorts of things that were wrong with them. Drug addiction, every kind of addiction in the world. Okay? Keep going.
Satan offered Jesus a shortcut. Quote, "The devil showed him the nations of the world in all their glory, for I will give it all to you," unquote, he said. Quote, "If you will only kneel down and worship me," unquote. Quote, "Get out of here, Satan," unquote, Jesus told him, and in many other words, if you read the Hellenic Greek. For the scriptures say, quote, "You must worship the Lord your God and serve only him," unquote.
Well, this was done in Hebrew. Jesus spoke, the Gospels were all written in Hebrew and Aramaic, because Jesus spoke Hebrew and Aramaic. And so that was not done in Hellenic Greek. The rest of the New Testament was. Okay, and then what?
Matthew 4, 8 through 10. If Jesus had fallen for this trick, he would have sinned and lost everything, including us. We need to be aware of, quote, shortcuts, unquote, that take us even one step outside of God's will. We are warned, quote, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you," unquote, James 4, 7. We can show this resistance by ignoring offers that are, quote, "too good to be true," unquote. There are really no quick fixes in the eternal life.
Yeah, if they seem too good to be true, the old saying is they more than likely are, okay? You have to work for a living. If you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, we're a no-frills ministry here, okay? No mumbo-jumbo. Okay, what else?
The path of the fullness of the Lord and walking in the Spirit can be long and hard, but it's not hard. It's easy and light if we are walking in the Holy Spirit. As we stay on the path, taking one step at a time, one day at a time, we'll find the good things in life and in the end have eternal life that God has planned for us from before the foundation of the world.
All right, that was Chapter 4 of Matthew, 25 verses, translation and commentary. And now we have part 5 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ.
Being full of the life and nature of Christ. Concerning the content, being full of the stature of Christ means that we are full of the life and nature of Christ. Are you full of the life of Christ, the whole Word, and are you full of his nature? Your mind, your heart, your soul, your eyes, your nose, your breath, do you breathe Christ? Then you can be part of the fullness of the stature of Christ. When a person's experience of life reaches its climax, in other words, when you know that you're part of the body and that the body is very important, the life and nature of Christ have permeated all the various parts of your being. The different parts of your spirit, as well as your mind and your will and your emotion of your soul, are filled with the life and nature of Christ. Even your physical body, at times, is supported by this strength, power, from the Spirit. Christians today cannot as yet be full of the element of Christ in their bodies. This can only be attained when we are raptured and transfigured. At this time, the Lord's life with your life, your life becomes mature. This means that you're fully filled with the nature of Christ and the life of Christ, fully resurrected in the spiritual realm with Christ and ascended with him in heavenly places.
All right, so that also was part 5 of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ. Of course, we all become one in Christ Jesus, the fullness of Christ, as much as possible on the side of eternity, by partaking or experiencing the church life, the body life, and the spiritual realm, everything combined, and we cannot be destroyed. It's impossible. But right now, until tomorrow, chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, and part 6 of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ, get into the Word, keep your mind stayed upon the Word of God, which is Christ, which is God, and those who meditate on Him and are with Him. He says, all those that are not with me are against me. President Bush said that all those that are not with him are against him. I'm not with him, but I'm certainly not against him. I'm trying to get his soul saved. Amen?
Amen.
So the statement he made about all those that are not with me are against me is not true. I'm for him getting saved, and I'm honoring him by bestowing him with the Word of God. But what Christ said is true. All those that are not with him are against him. So be with him. Meditate on him, his word. And meditate both day and night, and you'll be like strong Christians, strong trees, bearing much fruit, because you're anchored in Christ Jesus, in the Word of God, the Spirit, the river of life. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. Until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord.